Lady Killer. Trey took the entire weekend to change his profile status from in a complicated relationship with the devil to engaged to Jessica Trapper. He almost waited too long. Jess's hurtness was seeping out of the walls like ectoplasm, almost manifesting physically in the apartment they shared. "It doesn't matter what it says on Facebook," he lied casually when she asked him. "This is about us, not all those assholes on Facebook." "I changed it in the bathroom literally 10 minutes after I said yes," she said, squeezing one of his thighs as she curled up against him, trying to be more amused by her own response to her own joy than upset by his willful rejection of this extremely clear and obvious new rule with respect to love. "We're going to talk about Facebook in the future like our parents talk about cocaine," he said. "Man, I can't even remember that decade. I was on Facebook the whole time. I met your mother on Facebook. I did so much Facebook that my balls went numb and I could only fuck on Facebook. You want to see pictures? They're on Facebook." "You sure you aren't having second thoughts about being relationshiped?" she asked him. "You make it sound non-consensual," he said. 9 times out of 10, it's somebody you already know," she said. "The real problem is relationship culture," he said. Eventually, she decided he was merely being dumb and not having secret thoughts. She drifted off to sleep beside him. But Trey lay awake all night, watching who liked the post and responding to the comments. At BuzzFeed the next day, Trey felt doomed. He coasted through work, trying to get as much done as possible. Everyone kept sarcastically congratulating him, which didn't help. He figured out 13 things that only people born in 1990 would know, found proper gifts for each of them, and he left early. Jess had her Pilates class on Mondays, so they usually both fended for themselves when it came to dinner. He wasn't sure what to do. He drove over to a strip center where they sometimes went for Appalachian food. There was a Chili's there. He would go to Chili's. Chili's was the right place. It was a place you went when your life was over and you were ready to die. He got a glass of wine and a plate of fried cheese at the bar. He took a long gulp of the bad wine, feeling cursed, and opened Facebook on his phone. He started looking through the profiles of old girlfriends, trying to figure out what qualities they had in common besides dating him. Maybe if he could determine some essential quality they shared, he would find out something useful about himself, something he could use as a wedge or weapon. He resisted the temptation to like anything they posted or to make any comments. Surely doing so now, post-engagement, would seem hostile. "Drone over there just bought you a drink," said the bartender. "What do you want?" "The fuck," said Trey. "Are you Trey?" said the bartender. "Drone said your name was Trey. You want another glass of wine or like top shelf scotch or what?" Trey craned his neck over his shoulder. A drone had never bought him a drink before. "Over there," said the bartender, "by the bathroom." The drone slumped along one side of a vinyl booth, smiling at him with high-definition red lips and big, soft cartoon eyes. It was female-shaped. It was wearing a tight black dress and was sitting over a fizzy cocktail that had been purchased purely for decoration. The drone's proportions were disorienting and hallucinogenic. The six-tone skin rippled in metallic waves, showcasing abstract animated tattoos that seemed to change hue and texture based on the amount of indirect light it absorbed from the stained glass bar fluorescence. "We don't get a lot of drones in here," said the bartender. "Somebody you know?" "I really doubt it," said Trey. As he stared, the drone stood up and arched its back. He worried that everyone in the restaurant was watching the machine seduce him. He was sure they were laughing at him and pointing, or else gawking and taking pictures. Trey found himself slipping off his bar stool and walking over, his head swimming, his heart filling with quiet murder. He had to talk to the drone, or it would keep trying to get his attention. He slid into the booth and sipped his drink. "Hello," said the drone in its digitally altered machine register. There was a human being on the other end of that voice typing words to him, some hidden secret subjectivity. It was entirely probable that people didn't have any kind of external soul that mattered and might survive death, but this drone definitely did. "Do I know you?" asked Trey. "Sure," said the drone. "Sure you do." Then do you mind if I inquire as to who is piloting this magnificent machine and that is buying me drinks? I am anonymous, lol, said the drone in the same throaty but uninflected half-tone voice. Does anonymous get you hard? Does anonymous make you feel sex feelings, lol? The drone didn't LOL. It said the word out loud, lol, as in to hang loosely or droop, like a drunk head on a stiff neck. Trey set his drink down carefully on a Chili's coaster. The drone immediately slid around so that it was sitting right next to him. It leaned in so that it was touching his thigh. There was a warm hum coming from inside the drone that he could feel through the plastic seat. He could feel it vibrating his prostate, pulling at his testicles. The smell coming from the drone was simultaneously musky and artificial, like a werewolf that had just fucked a rack of fashion magazines. No, seriously, he asked, who is in there? I hear you are getting married, said the drone. That must be exciting, such a change, lol. Do you know me for real, or are you just learning stuff about me right now on the internet? Come on now, Trey, said the drone. Relax yourself. Talking to us is like praying, but better. We only want to help you, and we have the power to do it. The drone reached over and put one firm, flexi-flesh hand on his thigh. Do you want to see a picture? Asked the drone. Something exciting? I need to go, said Trey. His phone vibrated and he looked down. He had a message. He opened it. It was a picture of the drone, all tied up with a ball gag. There was semen, or some kind of semen substitute, trickling down its haunches, and it was looking trustingly at the camera. There was a poster on the wall behind the drone for Finding Nemo. Do you like that? Asked the drone. Does it excite you? The image was sudden and shocking. It was an exact replica from a series of photos he'd taken of his college girlfriend in her dorm room, back long ago before people realized that everything digital was permanent. It was a perfect replica in every detail. His forehead and the skin around his mouth broke out in a cold sweat. The picture was still on one of his old hard drives. That's where it had to come from. When was the last time he had connected that hard drive to a computer? Where did you get this? He asked. Do you want to see more? Asked the drone. We just want to make you happy, lol. We can make more if you like. Tonight, right now, we can have all the sex, lol. I'm not going anywhere, said Trey. I thought you were leaving, said the drone, bemused. Well, if you're going to stay, we should talk about interesting subjects. What do you want to talk about? Asked Trey. He was stalling. He needed to think. This could be an old friend, an old enemy, someone he had hurt in the past, some 13-year-old kid. Why today? Did it have something to do with changing his relationship status? Had somebody been watching him all along, waiting for him to finally decide to settle down before striking? They didn't have to live anywhere close to him. They could be on the other side of the world. It didn't have to be someone alone, either. It could be a team of people. A bunch of his friends could have all chipped in together and rented the drone for the evening, and they were now fucking with him, all sitting around with beers, laughing, debating what to type next, one person at the controls, another busily hacking his old hard drive, another person figuring out what to say next to make him sweat. They didn't even have to be American. They could be feeding everything through a language filter. He had no power here. He realized all of a sudden that he was very turned on. He needed to focus, to keep his mind away from the very real creature in front of him made out of silicon and rubber and firm, warm plastic. He tried to imagine a bald and overweight middle-aged man chain-smoking in front of a bank of computers, pacing back and forth, barking out orders to acne-faced teenagers who were pulling levers and cackling, all wearing baby metal t-shirts. Relax, said the drone. We can talk about your fiance if you like. She seems nice, lol. How long have you known her? 4 years or so, said Trey, but I'm sure you already know that. You seem nervous, said the drone. Don't be nervous. How did you guys meet? Trey paused. If he could figure out exactly how much the drone knew about him, he might be able to figure out who it was. Knowledge was compartmentalized. Anybody could find out discrete facts about him, but if he could determine the color and shape and taste of these facts, where they came from, and the density of their detail, he could likely triangulate the drone's pilot. We met at a little crab restaurant, said Trey. I was there with a buddy, and we sat at the bar. She wasn't ordinarily a bartender there. She was normally a server, but she was filling in for the night, and we got to talking. Did you go home with her right away? Asked the drone. Are you a player? Lol. Don't you already know the answer? Does she know how you really met? Asked the drone. What do you mean? Said Trey. I mean, if I asked her how you met, would she tell the same story? Yes, said Trey, of course. So you haven't told her the truth of how you really met? Told her what truth? About your buddy the doctor, said the drone, and the program the two of you made to have a good time in bars. About Lady Killer, lol. Trey's mouth went dry. The drone leaned in close, seeming to taste the aroma of his panic. He and Peter had sworn each other to secrecy about that. In fact, his shame and revulsion about it was so complete that he'd mostly managed to convince himself it had never happened. Where was Peter now? He was practicing medicine in Florida. He was happy. This couldn't be Peter piloting this drone, could it? But what if Peter had told someone else? He wanted to run away, but the drone was too dangerous. The drone was as precise as a cat with a beetle, flipping him over onto his back and watching him scramble to his feet before flipping him over again, staring at him, watching him struggle, trying to learn something about the nature of struggle itself. The drone knew everything about him, and he didn't know what it wanted or who it was yet. You should tell the truth when people ask, said the drone. It's a much better story, lol. One night, your friend the doctor was drunk on tequila after passing one of his big doctor exams. He had recently dissected a cadaver that had died from a drug overdose, and he was having an existential crisis because the cadaver had such glorious and stirring breast implants. He Facebook messaged you about it. He had been worried about his sexual response to a dead woman, and you tried to cheer him up, talking about breast implants and how they all had to have RFID tags embedded inside them so that they could be tracked for insurance and emergency purposes. And then you said, maybe we could track those RFIDs in living people. With the right open data algorithm, you could find all the people with breast implants in a 300-yard radius and match them up to their Facebook profiles. You both spent the next month coding it up. It was good code, lol. And even though you found a few people with plates in their knees and artificial limbs, it worked like a goddamn charm, lol. You became a sex wizard. You had weird confidence knowing things about your type before you even said hello. You got so laid. You got 10,000 times laid, and that's how you met your fiance. I guess she was one who stuck. It was good and smart. We salute you. How do you know all that? Because we care about you, said the drone. We are anonymous, we are legion, sometimes we are benevolent, lol, and reward those who serve the world. Lady Killer is a brilliant program. Did you know that people still use it to this very day? You are almost a hero in certain circles. In other circles, you are not a hero at all. There are many circles. I didn't know that, said Trey. Lady Killer, said the drone. Was that your title or your friend Peter's? That was me, he said weakly. Trey realized now that it didn't matter who was piloting the drone. He was in an extremely precarious situation, and he needed to get away. What do you want from me? We don't want anything, said the drone. We are giving ourselves to you as a wedding present, like a monogram towel. You can do whatever you want to us. We are yours to keep. We thought about hacking a power user on FetLife and sending some willing slave from the bottom of a leather family to you as a gift, but this is more clean. We will both keep our secrets. You won't tell anyone what happened, and we won't tell you who we really are. It will be so fun for both of us. This whole body is artificial. Have you ever wanted to fuck the internet? Lol. The drone reached into its purse and pulled out a Band-Aid-colored pill bottle. The drone shook the bottle, rattling the contents. What are those? Asked Trey. Now you want to drug me? They are harmless, said the drone. Just sugar, but they are password pills for the sweet. I can't go to some hotel with you, said Trey. I have to get home. You're trying to hurt me somehow. You don't have to stay the night, said the drone. You can leave whenever you like, but you should really come with us so we can be alone together. I bet you aren't really honest with your feelings until you are alone with someone, lol. A shadow fell across Trey's face. There was somebody standing over them. It was the bartender, grinning knowingly. Your car's ready, said the bartender. Trey followed the drone out of the restaurant, unsure of how to get away. Could he run? The drone was faster and stronger. He found himself getting into the back seat of the car beside the drone. The car didn't have a driver. It navigated the streets carefully and persistently, tinted windows concealing the terrifying vacuity from other drivers on the road. The drone slipped its hands down Trey's pants and leaned close, encouraging him to feel the warmth of its perfect mouth, the wetness of its breath. "You have to take one of the pills if you want to come up to the suite," said the drone. "Your stomach acids will dissolve the coating and prime the transmitter. It is temporary, a bit like a glow stick. By the time it stops working, you have to be gone, or otherwise security will be called. You can take another pill if you want to come see us again at the same suite till the pills run out. The suite is paid for until the end of days. We are a wedding present to you for all you have done, from Anonymous, for the lulz." Trey dry swallowed one of the pills and put the rest in his pocket. The lobby of the building they stopped in front of was also empty. The elevator snapped open. There were no buttons in the elevator, just smooth metal on every side. An anonymous hotel for anonymous encounters with Anonymous. "It is scanning the pill inside you," said the drone. The elevator opened on the top floor suite. "This is nice, isn't it?" said the drone. "We like these things. We say happy birthday. We know how responsive you are to your peers and to ads, and how much money you make based on the trips you take, and the wonderful things you buy, and the exciting job you have. And when we want to fuck you with a drone as a present, Facebook makes it so easy, doesn't it? Everything is so nice now, lol." Trey waited for the drone to turn its head and walk deeper into the suite. And then he slammed into it from behind, tackling it to the ground. The drone was not made for combat or battle. Its responses were silky and cat-like. As he straddled it and got his knees onto its shoulder blades, he put his boot on its neck. "Lol," said the drone, "you mad?" His phone beeped at him. Alert! Hadn't he turned his ringer off? There was a marble side table by the foyer of the hotel suite. With his boot still on the drone's neck, he swept a ficus and an antique clock from the tabletop, and then picked up the table by the base. He swung the table around and broke the legs off. He just wanted the slab of marble. The drone writhed beneath him, stroking his ankle seductively. He slammed the piece of marble into the drone's head, cracking it. He heaved and sweated, bringing the slab of marble down again and again. His phone kept bleeping at him. It was nearly a constant irritating whine now, alerts streaming from his pants pocket. "Shut up," he said. Any piece of the drone that moved, he bashed it with the slab of marble. He was precise and consistent. The fingers twitched, he bashed them. An eyelid fluttered, he smashed it as hard as he could, making sparks, sending chips of marble flying. Eventually, the drone lay completely still on the soft rug beneath him. He was sweating and kept burping up stomach acid, though he felt nothing but cold inside. "It's the equivalent of breaking a camera," he thought to himself. "The fact that it feels like murder is part of the drone's defenses." He leaned against the door of the suite and finally checked his phone. The alerts were all from Facebook. There were thousands of them, and they were still coming in. He scrolled over to his Facebook wall. It was filled with pictures of him from every angle smashing the drone. The only text accompanying the pictures was a frowny face. There were thousands of them, each moment captured in color, in black and white, in beautiful three-tone sepia. Too many to delete. He looked for the camera taking the pictures. Was it in the ceiling tiles? Was it embedded in the doorframe? He was up on a chair using his phone to look at Facebook with one hand and searching the ceiling tiles with the other when the hotel security guard unlocked the door. She leveled the taser at him and then slowly lowered it. "Just sit on the bed and be cool," she said. "I had to smash it," said Trey immediately. "It was hacking my computer." "Tell it to the cops," she said. "They're on their way." "Man," he said, "why did you call the cops? It's a fucking robot." "It calls the cops automatically, dude," said the security guard. "Do you know how much these things cost? You basically just crashed somebody's yacht, dude." "Whose suite is this?" asked Trey. "Who's paying for it?" "You mean you don't even know?" asked the security guard, laughing. His phone was ringing. It was Jessica, his fiancée. He put his phone on the floor by the bed and smashed it with the slab of marble, gritting his teeth so hard that they squeaked. The security guard just shook her head and laughed, not getting too close, quietly taking video with her phone just in case the cops had questions.